something this morning, and I've been noticing a lot more and more in our society, and actually it kind of makes me tired, to be very honest with you, in a lot of ways. There are a lot of concerns out there in our world today. This is our prayer time today. If you notice all the different surgeries, all the different health issues, and we haven't even talked on marriages and relationships that need to be healed and strengthened and lifted up. We haven't talked about the loss. That wasn't even part of our prayer time, the lost people of our world, of our society, of our neighborhoods right now who need to know Jesus. The prayer concerns are overwhelming if you sit down and start really praying about them and start making a list. As a matter of fact, I stopped making lists. I even did that on Tuesday night. I stopped making lists because my lists were getting overwhelming to me in so many different ways. And not that I didn't want to pray, but I was just like, Lord, if I keep dwelling on the list, and I know, Diane, you make a list, and I don't know how you do it. God bless you, sister. I really mean that, because if I keep making a list, I get so overwhelmed, I almost want to just give up because it seems too big to me. And so now I said, this is kind of how I do it now. I say, Lord, if you want me to have it impressed upon my mind and in my prayer, please let your Holy Spirit remind me of those things and these people and these different situations at different times. And it doesn't have to, I tell him, I said, Lord, it doesn't have to be at a particular time in the morning or a particular hour of the day or something like that. I could be driving down the road. I could be sitting in a deer stand. I could be doing whatever. I could be sitting there talking with someone else. And if you ask me to pray for someone, I will pray for them right then. So, because otherwise it's too overwhelming to me, the needs that are out there. And what gets me is the needs, every one of them, I didn't even see you back there. I'm sorry. Every one of them, squirrel. So, hey, every one of those needs has a person behind them, and every one of those people have a place where they are right at the precipice. They're right on a line where it's important that they be lifted up, because a lot of times they're about to give up. They're in a desperate situation, whether it be health or relationship or finances or something. Those people are in a place where they're about to give up, and they don't know what else to do and where to turn or where to go, and they need help. The parable that I'm going to read you today doesn't sound like it addresses this, but as I studied it this past week, actually over the last couple of weeks, it speaks directly to these people who are just about to give up, and they need help. It's in Matthew chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. And this is in this little series we're kind of looking at that starts off, the kingdom of heaven is like, how Jesus is describing the kingdom of heaven and what it's like. And so when he says the kingdom of heaven is like, he's describing an aspect of not our world today, not right here. He's describing an aspect of not just heaven, this place that we're all going to dwell, but he's really describing an aspect of our God and who he is. So in Matthew chapter 13, we're going to be looking at verse 31, starting at verse 31, a very short parable, okay? Verse 31, it says, he told them another parable. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it is grown, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Let me read that part again, because some people heard the phone. That's all right, let's read it again. He says, though it is the smallest of your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Now, I've tried to do a little research on this. I was very unsuccessful. Even I had Nathan working on it a little bit before he left, about the idea of a mustard seed and how small it was and all these different things, because we have a different mustard seed. I think we have a different mustard seed than what Jesus is talking about here. Here's a picture of our mustard seed. Do you have that back there? Is it pull-upable? There? No, that's the plant. There's the seed. I don't know if you can see that picture. I'm probably standing in the way for some of you. That's our mustard seed, that little bitty plant right in the palm of his hand. And I think our mustard seed is ground up into a powder, and that's what we made mustard out of. Am I making a bad assumption? I didn't do much research on this one. Does anyone know? Sounds about right. Let's just go with that, okay? So that's a small seed. I get that. That's a small seed. And then give me the other picture, if you would, please. There is the mustard seed plant, that seed that you just saw. That's the plant that grows from that little mustard seed that we saw there in that guy's palm of his hand, okay? That's pretty amazing. From that little bitty seed grows this great big thing. But I also, when I was looking at different things, I was having a hard time. In fact, Nathan and I had a little debate in the office this week because there were other pictures of what was proposed to be mustard seed plants, and they were like trees. I mean, and they were off in the Far East or in Jesus' area, that Samaritan, that area. And these plants were not like this. It was like a tree with actual like leaves on it, great big bushed out thing that was just absolutely huge. And I don't know, I couldn't, Nathan and I got in a debate because we couldn't verify the accuracy of that being a mustard tree plant or tree, so we weren't feeling comfortable putting that up on the screen because I didn't want someone to say, well, that's not, I didn't know. But Jesus is talking about a very particular thing. He's saying this seed is so small, yet because of this one seed, we have this great plant that the birds of the air are able to come and nest and find shade and find shelter within the branches of this mustard seed plant. And it just made me start thinking about the different seeds that we've got. You know, an acorn? You guys all realize that from an acorn's fairly good-sized seeds, but from an acorn, we have this great big oak tree. I got to go hunting a little bit this week, and there's this oak tree that just always amazed me. I cannot walk by this oak tree without realizing, especially this week, it came from this little bitty, teeny tiny acorn, this massive tree. And then I got to think about even further this morning that when we went to Mexico, do you guys remember when we went to Mexico? Do you remember the tree? Do you remember the name of the tree? Dave, do you remember? Dave's not there. Do you guys remember the name of the tree? I wish I had a picture. I wish I was bigger. I don't know. This massive. There's this. I don't even remember what city we're in. You guys remember as well as I do. We established it's a big tree. It's in Mexico, somewhere. Do you know what tree we're talking about? Do you remember the name of it? See, she's a teacher and she doesn't remember the name of it. All right, so I'm going to describe this tree. I've actually got a picture of it, but I can't find it. Okay, be quiet now. All right, so we've got this massive tree. This tree is so big, and I am not exaggerating. With my great camera that I took to Mexico, I could not back up far enough. I could not back up far enough to get a picture of the entire tree, okay? I think if you took a measuring stick and went just around the trunk of the tree, I bet it would measure at least, and I'm not exaggerating, at least 30 or 40 yards. It's huge. The trunk of the tree would not fit in this room from here to the sound booth. It is that large. And the branches that are coming off of it are massive. You could build one heck of a treehouse in this tree. I mean, it is absolutely huge. I mean, some of the branches are probably bigger around than this that are coming off this tree. And it's all one tree. And they have this big, I mean, they guard it like it was Fort Knox, the people do. I mean, they literally have gates around it. You can't go through the gates. You can't reach up and take a leaf off it or anything like that. But that it made me realize that this tree, I don't know what the seed looked like, but it was small. But the potential of a seed is absolutely amazing. Incredible. And what Jesus is saying in this parable, and this speaks directly to you and I and to so many who are hurting in this world right now, because if you look at a mustard seed in the Bible, what is a mustard seed always compared to? Before you answer it, let's take a look in the Bible and let it talk about it. In Matthew chapter 13, just a few pages away, or one page away in my Bible. No, Matthew chapter 17, excuse me. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Backing up to verse 14, it says, when the crowd came, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and he's suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire, into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Now he says, oh, you unbelieving and perverse generation. Wow. You didn't realize that Jesus said those kind of words to us, did he? You unbelieving and perverse generation. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Ouch! Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. And then the disciples came to him and said in private, why couldn't we drive out that demon? And Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. nothing will be impossible for you. Okay, so there's one parable. Jesus says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible. Take a look in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Okay, I'm having trouble getting there. Luke chapter 17, verse 6. Same type of thing. Let's just back up to verse 1. Jesus says to his disciples, things that cause people, here we go, things that cause people to sin are bound to come. But woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. Do you hear that? Let's just read that again. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 77 times, or if he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back and says to you, I repent, repent, forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. Here it is again. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Increase our faith. It's an interesting question. So what does that mean? Does it mean that each one of us has faith so small it's not even as big as a mustard seed? Our faith is so small that we can't do anything, and man, all we got to do is get a bigger seed. Is that the idea of this parable? Our faith is so small, is so insignificant, so puny that we're incapable of doing anything. Is that the meaning of the parable? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know what a seed is? A seed is a tiny bundle of potential. It is. It's a tiny bundle of potential. It has everything. A seed has everything that it needs to become an amazing, huge, incredible plant. Has everything it needs right there in that little tiny seed. It's got it all. Everything. So what makes a seed grow into something amazing? Or what makes a difficult circumstance come into glory? What happens? What is that missing ingredient? And the entire parable is about this. It's not about the seed. It's about the one who makes the seed grow. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says something very important. He says, you know what? Because people were following Apollos and they were following Paul and all these other things. And finally, Paul says, you know what? What is Apollos? And Apollos was another disciple. He was another guy who was out spreading the gospel. Paul says, what is Apollos? And then he says, what is Paul? He says, we're nothing. He says, Apollos waters, and I can't remember what he says. Let's look at it in 1 Corinthians so I don't misquote it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says this. I was almost there, but I don't want to misquote it to you. I do that way too many times, and I regret it every time I do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, after all, what is Apollos? And after all, what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned each his task. I planted the seed, Apollo watered it, but God makes it grow. Did you hear that? Apollos planted it, I watered it, someone fertilized it, we did all these different things. But you know what? You can do all those things, but only God makes it grow. That's kind of an amazing concept, especially if you're farmers, because you all think, I know, you all think, you know, I'm going to go out and plant the seed, and it's going to rain, and the soil's got nutrients, and I'm going to put, you know, anhydrous on, I'm going to put fertilizer on, all these different things, and I'm going to have a good crop. They're going to grow because I make sure all the right things are right there. But guess what? It's an amazing thought when you really think about it. You know what? Not a single one of those seeds has to grow. Not one. You can put it in the best soil, and Jim's going, oh, no, I can put it in the best soil. No, you can put it in the best soil. You can give it the perfect moisture. You can do everything exactly right. And if God doesn't want that seed to grow, it's not going to grow. Every seed, every blade of grass, every ear of corn, every soybean, every tree, every flower only grows by the blessings of God, by his power. So what is this seed that he's talking about in the parable in Matthew chapter 13? This seed that he's talking about is exactly what we've already described. It's faith. God is the planter. He is the sower. and we are the earth. We're the place that he's going to plant that seed of faith in each one of us. And each one of us, whether we admit it or not, have a small, minuscule mustard seed size of faith in our lives, because God's planted in each one of us. Whether it allows to grow, whether we admit that, whether we allow it to grow in our lives, is completely up to him and up to us being willing to honor him, being willing to acknowledge who he is. Because faith does grow. It grows in each one of us. But it's by God's power that it happens. You see, it works kind of like this. Well, I kind of believe in Jesus. I kind of do. I don't really know him all that well. At some point in time, you finally make a decision, you know what? I'm going to put my faith, I'm not going to put my faith in riches. I'm not going to put my faith in my home. I'm not going to put my faith in my wife. I'm not going to put my faith in my husband. I'm not going to put my faith in my children. Please don't do that. Don't put your faith in your job. Don't put your faith in your own knowledge, or your own skill, or your own ability. Well, finally, at some point in time, you say, I'm going to put my faith, I'm going to place my faith in the fertility of God. I'm going to believe in Jesus, that there is a God and creator of the universe. I'm going to put my faith in him. And as soon as we allow our faith, that tiny seed, to be placed in God, then it's placed in a place that it can grow. It's given the right materials to make it grow. And all of a sudden things, I'm not saying it's going to be perfect, but all of a sudden things start to change. It starts to grow. Now a seed doesn't go, poof, big plant, does it? It doesn't just all of a sudden, boom, just blossom out of the earth, just explode with leaves and limbs and all these different things. It doesn't happen, does it? It slowly breaks open, doesn't the seed? It breaks open. And sometimes breaking open the seed, remember that seed of faith, is painful because it starts breaking away the things that we've always sought, the things that we've always done things. It starts breaking away at our habits. It starts breaking away at our mindset, and it just cracks open just a little bit. But once it cracks open, it has the opportunity to start growing even more. And it's a slow process. What happens is, in a lot of our lives, and mine included, I've been broken down to tears this morning thinking about this, my life included, I get to a certain point in my life where I think the growth should be faster or bigger, or smell better, or look greener, or something. I get to the point in my life where I think my seed should be more productive. I should be seeing more results here. Does anyone else get what I'm saying? And it's very easy to start becoming discouraged. And I've been there. I'm there right now a lot of times. You start becoming discouraged, and what happens is all of a sudden you start thinking, I need to increase my faith. I need to get more faith. But the problem is, I can't increase my faith. God increases my faith. God makes the seed grow. It's not in my ability or my time or my knowledge or my understanding. It's God who makes it grow. And sometimes he makes it grow quick, and sometimes he makes it grow slow. Sometimes he brings a wind to break off some branches, to shake things up. Sometimes he brings heat to wither it, to literally wither it, to make it feel like it's about to die. But he has the power to grow it back and strengthen it. You see, it's by God's power. I think in so many different examples of people who just started off so small, so insignificant. You know what? No one knows the number one example I think of? Is Jesus. He was a perfect example of living, active, growing faith. He started out as a little baby in a manger. In the humblest of circumstances. Poor as church mice, you might say, having absolutely nothing. growing up, and we don't know much about his childhood, but growing up in complete submission to his parents who were not perfect, who started with a band of 12 men to change the world. Think about it. 12 men to change the world. And those 12 men, he would carry on with for 3 years, and every once in a while he'd just go, "Oh, this perverted generation. You guys, when are you ever going to get this?" Okay, he wasn't sinning by getting, but he's like, "God, are you going to hear this? How is the world going to change for these 12 men?" But he knew it wasn't his power. Well, it was his power because he was God. But it wasn't going to be dependent on these 12 men. It was going to be dependent on God working through them and in them and around them. It's the same with us. The message here this morning is don't give up where you're at. If you're facing a tough circumstance in your marriage, in your finances, in your school, wherever you're at, where if you're facing a tough circumstance, or if you faced a tough circumstance in your past and all of a sudden you just kind of gave up, you're just going through the motions, don't. Realize it's in God's time. I think of Joseph, who spent 2 years in jail. Joseph, you know who I'm talking about? Israel's son. 2 years in jail, waiting for the cupbearer to remember him. Man, if you spent 2 years in jail, I think I would give up thinking God had abandoned me, but Joseph never did. He followed. He listened. He was obedient. And it's in God's power and by his might and in his time that he will work. Know this, he loves you. He planted that seed of faith in you. I'm going to kind of do a quick sidestep here. Is that all right? Make sure that your faith is rested and settled in Jesus, okay? Because there's something really interesting that goes on with the seed. Cool. There's something really interesting that goes on with faith and a seed. A seed can get, what was the word we were talking about, Jim? It can get, do you remember? It was only a few minutes ago. Yeah, it can get weakened, it can get, what's that word?
It can get weakened by
reproducing itself over time. Yes, it can get weakened by reproducing amongst itself over time. It's called, what's that called? There's a word.
Inbreeding.
Well, you said it, not me. Jim said that. He said inbreeding, but there's a truth to it. And here's kind of the point of the parable. He says that seed of faith grows, and the faith grows into a bush in which the birds of the air, basically the things outside, come and find refuge in it. And I think that happens in us very easily, because when faith grows in us, it becomes attractive. When the faith of God grows in us, we are attracted. The world is attracted to it, whether they like to admit it or not. And when they come and trying to find out what is giving you this peace, what is giving you this strength, what is giving you this shelter, what is giving you this overall peace that you've got, and the birds of the air come and they take shade in that shelter. And let's just kind of bring this to us a little bit. Let's say that the word of God gets planted in us, that seed of faith grows in us, and all of a sudden the faith starts oozing from us. People are attracted to that, and we share our faith with them, right? If we share our faith with them, they can live off our faith for quite a while. They can see, well, he's a good guy, and I, you know, whenever they got a problem, I'll just call this guy and he'll pray for me and all these different things. As a matter of fact, our kids do that, right? As we're raising our kids, they kind of live off our faith. They live under our limbs, under our tree, under our protection of our faith that we have for them. We're praying for them, but at some point in time, they have to get that faith of their own. They can't live off mom and dad's faith, okay? They have to take the faith, not from Eldon or from the pastor or for someone else. They have to take the faith and they have to transfer it to Christ. Because if they take my faith and are living off my faith, and they grow in that, and someone takes that faith off of them, it's going to continually get inbred and weaker and weaker and weaker. And I think that's what's going on in society. I really think that's what's going on in the Christian world, because we're taking our faith off of other people. We're receiving it for them, even though it's a faith in Christ, but it's not a firm faith. You need to go back to the original Jesus every time, because any other faith, any other place that you're trying to gain strength and understanding and power and wisdom from, any other faith is going to be weakened. I can't give you my faith, and I don't want to. I want you to hear my faith. I want you to see my faith, and I want you to go to the source, which is Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus is where all the power is at. Don't think that you can come and play a game and listen to the messages and listen to my study or listen to the TV evangelist or all these different things. Don't think you can take their faith, their study, their time that they put in and receive it and think, wow, I'm good now. It's not going to work. Don't think you continually take your, and I'm not complaining about this, I'm really not, because I want you to listen. I want you to call me with prayer requests and things like that. But don't think you can take my prayers and think, I've done my job, because that's not working. It doesn't work. That increases my faith. My faith gets increased a lot because I keep going to Jesus. I keep saying, Jesus, this is too big. There's too much. I can't handle it. Here, it's yours. And I see the results that Jesus does in people's lives. And I am amazed by it. And I praise him for it. And I thank him for it. And other people think, wow, you know, Elton's got a good prayer life over there. No. I am weak. I am insignificant. And so are you. It's Jesus who makes that seed grow, that increases that faith. He's amazing. He's incredible. He is like no one else that you will ever meet. And he says, come to me. Just come to me. Believe in me. Who do you say that I am? Do you understand and know in your heart that I am the Christ, I am the Son of God, I am the salvation of the world? That only one name in all the world that you can be saved by, and that is the name of Jesus. He is the source. He is the sustainer. He is the grower of that seed. And through him, you will produce fruit. It's through Jesus. Where's your faith? I'm not saying increase my faith. I'm saying get to the source of faith. If you're feeling like you're at the end of the rope and you don't know what the next step is, you're scared to death, you think this is the end, you're done, will you run to him? Will you seek him? Will you allow him to do what he was designed to do? Increase your faith. Make you stronger. Make you to become what God intended each and every one of us to be. A light. A shelter. Salt to those who need him. And right now there are a lot of people who need him. We can do this. We really can. Well, we can't do this. Let me rephrase it. We can't do this. God can do this through us. We just believe. I'm going to tell you, I've been extremely convicted, especially this morning, because I didn't realize how much this applied to me in so many different ways. So many different ways. I've just got to do what God's calling me to do. And I'm going to lay that out. I've been holding it back for a long time. I've been very unfair to my board and my elders. I apologize. I've been trying to be like Nebuchadnezzar, who says, tell me my dream and interpret it, is kind of what I've been like to my leadership here in the last couple of years. And that's not fair. So in the next couple of weeks or next few months, I'm going to lay it out. And that's all I can do. I'm going to lay it out on the table so flat, so plain. And then it's up to you. Because that's what he's called me to. I believe in all my heart. And I don't know why. Maybe every pastor in the world feels this about their church. I don't know. I hope they do. I really do. I in my heart of hearts, I pray that every pastor serving in every church around the world feels about their church the way I feel about this church in Walnut, Illinois. That it is a seed that God is wanting to blossom into an amazing witness for him. Not to draw people to a church, but to draw people to the Savior, to Jesus. And I don't know why, but I really believe in my heart of hearts that this little church right here that you are a part of, that you are sitting in right now, God wants to use in an amazing way. I've been saying it for 11 years. Almost in 1 month, it's going to be, actually in 3 weeks, it's going to be in 11 years I've been saying this. And I believe it with all my heart. And I'm not going to say I know the timing or how or the wherefores or the whys. Church of Walnut Community Bible Church, God loves you. And he's got much bigger plans for this church, I believe in my heart of hearts, than for us to continue doing just what we're doing. What we're doing is not bad, it's good. But there's something so much more that he wants us to be. It's so much more that he wants us to do, I believe. He wants to take this small seed and change it into something amazing, incredible, for his glory, and for no other reason. Next few weeks are going to be very interesting, and I invite you to be here. I invite you to take part. But most of all, I invite you to start praying how God is going to use you in that plan, because there is going to be absolutely no slackers allowed. Every one of you is called increase in faith that God is giving you. I'm done. You're all looking really serious. Are you scared? You should be. Because when God gets a hold of you, it is a crazy, wild, amazing ride. There's hills and valleys, there are steep drop-offs, and there are huge rises. And it's a ride that you will never want to get off of once you get on it. There'll be times in the ride that you're going to look off to the people around you and say, come on, get on. And the look of fear in their face will be so excruciating, so terrifying that you're thinking, what am I doing on this ride myself? But it's a ride worth riding. It's a life worth living. And you've got to experience it. Allow him to do what only God is able to do in your life. And increase your faith. We're going to sing a song of invitation. What is that song, John? Oh, come on, you should know that by now. Let us worship the King. Come, let us worship. You know what? Faith increases by that first step, by worshiping him. By pouring out your heart to him. By releasing and letting him be God in your life. Stop worrying about the past and the mistakes. Stop worrying about the struggles. And start looking forward, like Jim said this morning, look forward to who he is and what he wants to be. Let's stand as we sing.